Welcome to another broadcast of Help Relationships 102 with your host, myself, Pastor Lewis Green. It's good to be with you today on another glorious day in the Lord. We've been speaking to the single African-American mothers and attempting to grant them tools that will help assist them in the raising of their African-American son. And as many of you know, as is common knowledge, the African-American son is someone, a force to be reckoned with. He doesn't tend to typically be going anywhere at this point in his life. And he gets caught up in drugs and ends up in and out of jail. And it destabilizes the family as a whole because he typically impregnates girlfriends, plural, and doesn't father any of them and perpetuates the same cycle, leaving the African-American mama with the daunting task and responsibility of raising their fatherless African-American children. And I believe the Lord is sending a wave of His grace to help supplement, augment her, and arm her with tools for the purpose of raising her son. Because her heart breaks, and mama's the one whose heart breaks. So many mothers that I know whose sons are in prison, whose son's been murdered, and it's heartbreaking and it's heart-wrenching, and it's a perpetuating cycle, and it's become commonplace, and it's a tragic thing that it would become commonplace. But I believe the Lord is sending an abounding grace, is sending an understanding that will help arm you, mama, that will help give you the proper tools and supplement the tools that you already have to make you aware of the playing field that you're on, so that you don't find yourself reacting to the task of raising your kid, but that you do it with a strategy, that you do it with a plan, and that you do it with a purpose, and that you do so successfully. And so this series, it's for the express purpose of helping you, mama, so that you can be aware of where you are and that there are approaches available to you that will absolutely help you. Look back on just this week alone, and I believe you'll find it heavy laden with necessary tools, important tools that will help you do your job. And so the first thing to do is to understand that you're looking at this thing strategically and you're not allowing yourself to react to your situation, because that's what mostly happens. You get pregnant, you get on the system, typically. That's not written in stone, but typically, and there's not a real plan. You're just reacting to what's happened. But see, now that the Lord has seen fit to give you this African-American son, you have a chance to mold in him the man that you wanted your husband to be, the man that his father should have been. Maybe even if you raise him properly so that you can present him to his father as the man that he should be. And perhaps stir up within him a repentant heart so that he could grow and as a result change into the person that he should be. So, mama, you have more tools than you're aware of, and we're going to talk about some more of those. Today, I want to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. It's regarding the young African-American son's identity. Now, most aren't aware of this, but the African-American boy, every son defined their masculinity after their fathers, okay? And what happens is the father teaches the son how to be a man. But since father's not there, that task is up to you. Now, the father does, typically, if he's there, does through demonstration. Because what happens is, when he demonstrates not being there, he's also sending a message to his child and also teaching him to not be there. But there's another tool that you have, mama, that you use it with men, okay? And that you understand that just like a man can help affirm a man, so can a female help affirm a man and make him feel like a man. And it's done through simple affirmation. Oh, young African-American male, because he's looking to fit in, because he's looking to identify in manhood, and he sees on the street the identity that he can relate to, he attains after the identity presented to him on the street. He's in search of the answering of the question of his identity and who he is. And so he tends to identify with people whom he respects and fills his definition of manhood. Now the thing is, you can help actually define to him what manhood is, because you have an influence in his life, being his mother. You know, I laugh when I watch football games and the camera will actually pan some of the players and the brothers will look up and say, "Hi, Mom." And I'm tickled because I'm sure dads are watching TV too. I'm sure dads are watching the game even when mom's not. But moms have been such an influence that even when dads had been in the home fully and the way they were intended to, the son still tends to be influenced and have a special place in his heart for his mama. And so, Mama, you have more influence in your son's life than you are aware of. You have more influence in his life than you could ever know. And so we want to take that in consideration as you begin to speak to his manhood. And how do you speak to any man's manhood, Mommy? You do it through his ego, through the sense of affirmation. God gave that brother that ego. He gave it to him because if addressed and treated properly, it could help build you a man, okay? You could build a young man of God by simply affirming him. Critical, which is typically, I don't want to say this offensively, that or women tend to be critical in nature. And it's not meant as an insult or as a criticism, but women are more detail-minded. And so there's an old saying that goes that men are headline and women are fine print. They care about all the details and they address all the details. And so it makes them of a critical nature more so than maybe the man might be, because all the details matter where the details escape the man. Use your gift for your detail-mindedness to address his attributes as a young man growing up. You affirm him. You affirm him, and I want to say this to you, and this might help you as well. Now, mommies tend to be very affirming to their African-American sons, and dads tend to be less affirming. I always say that if you get an affirmation from a dad, and you've got a serious affirmation, mama, you can do no wrong. She's going to love you unconditionally. But often, dad will love you with condition. You're going to have to do it right, okay? You're going to have to bring it right before he can appreciate what you've done. And so then after you've done it right and the dad says, "Good job," it's a good job indeed. And then that caters to that boy's sense of self-esteem and he feels good about himself because he feels a sense of accomplishment. And so I would ask you, Mama, to tell the boy when it's a good job, but when it's a great job, let him know. Don't give him the same praise that you do on a good job as you do a great job. If it's an okay job, give him an okay. So it's okay. It'll pass. Let him know that it's okay. So it'll give him something to attain to. And I know that might be difficult for you, but when you say it's everything's good, then he doesn't know if it's good or not. He just, you know, attributes it to you being mama. Let him know when things could be better. Oh, that's so important, Mama. You're still offering him unconditional love, but let that boy know when things could be better. And so what that would look like is, well, how's this project look? It's okay. It could be better, but it's not bad. It's not bad, son. It's not bad at all. Okay, now, so he can accept that. Then when you say, when he's done something good, and he's worked for it, and then you smile and say, "Son, that's good. Son, that's great," and you smile and he feels it, then he can take confidence in it, and it goes to help defining him as a man. So you do that especially on issues of manhood. Oh, come on, Mama. You do these especially on issues of responsibility. If he does his homework, don't take it for granted that he's supposed to do his homework. And if he does something that is obvious that's mediocre work, then don't give him glowing reports, okay? Give him a firm, acceptable report. But don't give him a glowing, "You're the man" report. And so pick especially on issues of manhood, especially in areas of responsibility. And so this goes back to holding that boy accountable. If he cleans his room and he's making up his bed, don't let it pass. Don't do it yourself. Oh, Mama, don't do it yourself. As he's cleaning his room and as he's doing the chores around the house, you say in your mind, "Well, it's just easy just to do it myself." But you know something? What are you teaching him? You're missing out on a great opportunity to teach that boy confidence and identity and manhood. Oh, it's when he does something right that he becomes confident, that he feels good about himself, that his sense of manhood could flow from that, okay? And so especially on issues of manhood. When he has a girlfriend, how he treats that. You know, how he treats people that are weaker than him, how he treats that. When he follows the rules, when he could cheat, how he treats that. The things that are pertaining to responsibility. How he handles the stuff you get him. How he handles the bike you get him. Does he leave it outside? And fussing is not going to help. Now, I want to say this again. I want to revisit this. Fussing is not going to help. Fussing never helps. Some moms fall on the other side where they're angry about life. So much has happened to them, and so much has happened to you, mom, and that you're unhappy, and you find yourself fussing over everything, okay? And so be sensitive to you if you find yourself falling into that category. If you find yourself hooping and hollering most of the time and being critical most of the time and being hard on your son most of the time, know that it's going to send him looking for where he is acceptable. It's going to send him on a search as to where he's acceptable. You want him to be at home with you. You want him to find home and a sense of identity with you. And the manhood will flow out of his confidence, and the confidence that will come through your words of affirmation. So your words of affirmation will help build the confidence that will help define his manhood to himself. And so he's got to feel at home with you. It's when a child is rendered homeless because he has no place that he fits, that he can identify and be acceptable in his eyes. You see, he becomes acceptable in his eyes when he's acceptable in yours. Now again, it's not to go to the extreme and everything is acceptable because it's not believable then. There's an old saying that a face that only a mama could love. A mama, you're beautiful no matter what. But if you're not beautiful and you're telling somebody consistently that in some areas they are beautiful and they know they're not, and it's common knowledge that they're not, that they're not meeting a certain standard, then he's not going to believe you. You're not going to be believable, and you're going to forfeit your position in his life to help build a sense of confidence that will develop and evolve into his sense of manhood. And so even if a person is ugly in one area but great in another, then you come from that angle and you help them identify in that way. But don't lie to the boy, because he's not going to believe you, and you're going to disqualify yourself as being one of the instruments that could help build the man that he's going to be. Oh, come on, mommy, hear me out now. And so it's talking to his sense of ego, his sense of self. Ego is not bad. Having a little pride or dignity in yourself is not bad. It's when you become arrogant. The Bible talks about dignity, and we're talking about a different kind of pride. Not the pride that's an air, not the pride that's arrogant, but a pride that comes in the form of dignity, of manhood, of strength, of something becoming of a man of God. There's a certain dignity in a person of position and a person of power that's short of pride, that's short of an heir. Yet there's a certain dignity that would rest upon your son if you would allow for so. And so we're talking about not pushing and not prodding and not prying and not showering him either with accolades that he's unworthy of. And stopping short, too, at being critical. Because if he doesn't find a home with you, see, you're going to be who he finds a home with. He's going to find a home in your eyes and in your opinion. And if you successfully provide that for him, the need to go outside will be minimized. He's still going to need to fit in out there, but he'll have the confidence to be himself and not have to change in order to earn his acceptance through others. That impulse will be minimized if he finds what he's looking for in your opinion, in your relationship with him. I'm not saying to make that boy a mama's boy. I know some boys will say, hey, I don't mind being a mama's boy. But in the long run, that hurts them. Being a mama's boy hurts in the long run. If you take care of him, and this is what I've seen happen most often, the baby boy will be showered and in a sense will become the man in that mama's life. And she takes care of him. And if you do so without teaching him responsibility, you'll make him the man in your life, and often you'll serve him and love him and excuse his wrongness, excuse it for being cute, you know, excuse it because he's your baby and he's your baby boy. And what happens is not maintain the boundaries that we've talked about in the past few broadcasts, and you end up, because you end up taking care of him, he never learns to stand and take care of himself, much less his significant other. And usually he'll end up going to a girlfriend, and she would end up taking care of him as well, because he never learned to stand on his own and to be responsible for his actions. And so don't raise that boy who finds himself ill-equipped not only to not be able to carry his own weight, but to carry the weight of a family. And so, Mama, so you don't want to be critical on one end, you don't want to be flattering on another end, and you don't want to take care of him and keep him a baby. You want to be aware that you are building a man. You are building a man of God. It's your opportunity to build the kind of man that a woman would want, that you would want for yourself, the kind of man that his father should be. And so be careful and understand what you're doing, and don't allow yourself to lean into him so that it creates something that ends up hurting both of you. And so you lead with affirmation. You know, I've learned in dealing with today's youth, they're all in search of their identity. They're all trying to figure out who they are. And you know that most of the time, it's mama is the one who names the son. It's mama most often doesn't matter as much to the fathers as it does to the mama. So most of the time, the mama is the one that names her son. And I think that's sort of an indication. I think it's sort of a sign of the power that she has to impute and impart a sense of identity to that boy. She gives him his name. She gives him his identity. But she tells him who he is. Okay, come on now. Mama tells him who he is. So never underestimate that your words have power. Don't disqualify that power by flattering or by being critical, but understand the power that you've been given to make a difference in that boy's life so that you might properly and effectively shape that young boy into a man. You have the wherewithal if you do it with a purpose. If you speak into his life, even when, now watch this now, Mama, even when you see him heading down the wrong path, criticizing is not helping. I mean, you can lay out the boundary and you can lay out the restriction, but meanwhile, you tell him who he is. Boy, that's not who you are. You're better than that. There's greatness in you. There's a purpose for your life. You're fraternizing with a group of people that aren't going anywhere. You're fraternizing with people that are beneath you. There's greatness in you, son. You're better than that. This is not who you are. And you begin to tell that boy who he is. You begin to remind him who he is. And so even if he finds himself failing in school, even if he finds himself not succeeding, you see, you have the power to help him gird up his identity, because he can look at himself if he struggles in school and begin to define himself as a failure. And so just because you fail doesn't mean that you're a failure. Just because you lose doesn't mean that you're a loser. And it'll be your mom, if you allow it to be, you could help him distinguish between being weak in math and being an idiot. Okay? A kid can be weak in math, doesn't mean he's dumb. All right? You know, just because he loses and he's not fast in a foot race doesn't mean he's a loser. And so you can help him make that distinction instead of allowing life to begin to define him by his failures. You bring in that balance, and don't blow smoke and don't be flattering, but keep it the truth. Son, you might be weak here, but with hard work, you can build it up. I know it's hard, but you can do it. And then you draw his attention to other things that he's worked at and improved in. And by that means, you can help him not define himself by his surroundings. Even his physical appearance. If he has a weakness in a physical appearance, you know, you acknowledge that he's not as strong there, that he's not as big there, but he's okay, and plus he's got other qualities that make up the difference. He got other qualities that put him in his own class. He's got other qualities that he can make a name for himself. And you help him keep perspective, minus the flattery, minus the criticism, keep perspective who your boy is, and keep him feeling strong about himself. Say he wants to play in the football team and he wants to be a running back, but he's too small. And so maybe he'll work a safety position better. So give him a safety or a corner guard. Mom, what you can do is you can help him figure out where he fits, but you have to pay attention as to where he's trying to fit. You know his gifts. You know him maybe even better than he knows himself. If he wants to play forward in a basketball team, but maybe he's a better point guard. You see, and you watch what he's trying to do and help him to fit, because often part of growing up is trying to figure out who you are. And sometimes we're a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. I knew people that tried to fit on the football team and they were better in the band. They were, in fact, musicians, some of which have gone on to be professional musicians, and they were trying to play football. That's not where they were equipped, you see. And so, Mom, your job is to continue to keep an eye on your boy and to tell him who he is. And then when he attempts to misfit, don't tear him down. Say, son, you can try that. I think you're strong here. I think you could do that too. But I think your place is here. I think you could find greatness here. Oh, I know that thing that you're aspiring to. I think you could be good there, but I think you could find greatness here. This is what you're equipped to do. And begin for that to be the language. And sometimes he's going to stray away from you. He's going to try this. He's going to sample that. But then he's going to come back, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart. You'll tell him who he is. And so ultimately, in his life journey, as he's trying to figure himself out, he'll come back to who he is. He'll come back to that. All right. And I always say this too. If you see that your child has certain talents and certain inclinations in their youth, mommy, why don't you try to take it upon yourself to develop those gifts? He's not going to play the piano by himself or take piano lessons by himself. I know some kids that hated taking piano lessons. We'd be outside playing and they'd been there taking piano lessons, but now they've gone on to make a living for themselves. Oh, they hated it while they were doing it, but it paid off because their parents saw the gift that they had. The mama saw the gift that they had and saw where they could flourish. She saw the creativity that was there and the musical prowess that was in fact there, and actually helped to develop that. So you watch and see where your kid fits. If he proves to be artistic, most kids aren't naturally disciplined. And so get that boy into some lessons, into a structured environment that gift can begin to be developed. And see, mommy, that's what we do. We don't hope for the best. We're going to believe for the best, and we're going to try to position our kids in the best possible way that they have the best possible chance to succeed, and not leaving things by happenstance and wishing and hoping that the best will happen. But instead, watch. Begin to eye your kid when he's young. If you see that they have gymnastic ability, put them in gymnastics. You know, maybe they're Olympic level or something. You know, put that little girl in dance and see if she has an inclination there. As they grow and you see it's not there, then help her find where she fits. She's completely even unaware of what the questions are, much less the answers. But mom, if you've lived long enough, you know a few of the answers. You know that what she's going to need, you're going to begin to develop that within him now. Haven't you noticed that those who are great are those who did it and learned it and developed it in their youth? Haven't you noticed that the greatest of those have learned to develop their gifts and talents, identify and develop their gifts and talents even in their youth? I think that's why Michael Jackson was so great, because his dad helped put him on a path when he was young. Okay, and so he grew up and he became a part of him and put him ahead of the game and was able to tap into that greatness that became Michael Jackson. Now, of course, I don't approve of what, you know, his daddy did, how he forced it out of him, and you know, but still, the point is a good point. And so begin to help to aim your child. You see, you have the power to aim your kid. You see what his gifts and abilities and talents are, and if you put him in something, he doesn't seem to flourish there, then don't make him stay there. You help find and put him in something else until he find what takes. And I realize that sometimes this can take money, but you know something? There are programs now that help even parents that aren't financially able to, that make up the difference for them. And so you can still be an active part in that kid's life to help him find who he is. Meanwhile, you will be continuously telling him who he is. Now, I want to say this too. Sometimes I've noted that because of a broken relationship with a dad, the son can lean towards identifying with mama. And so he would identify with her femininity, you see. And it can develop into gayness. If he identifies with femininity, he'll begin to see things through the eyes of femininity, and it could be the building blocks or the dominoes that could snowball into finding himself in a gay life. And so tell him who you are. If he wants to wear your shoes, you give him boy shoes, men's shoes. If he wants to wear your clothes, you give him boy stuff. And then you affirm his manhood. And you begin to water that. Mama, you have more power than you know. You begin to affirm him. I'm not saying to be critical of him if he identifies with femininity. I'm saying to make the adjustment. It is within your means, it is within your power to make the adjustment, to aim him properly, and to continuously be the voice of telling him who he truly is. Yes, who he really is. And so take your time, Mommy, and be patient and look at your son with a strategic eye. Look at your son with a discerning eye. You've been given a project, okay? And so you have to recognize, and it's easy because he's your baby boy, and when he's growing up, you know, he's your little baby, and you're his world, and he's your world, and he begins to grow up. It's hard sometimes to let go, but for his sake, you must let go, Mommy, and you must begin to take on the project of man building. You must begin to take on the project of building him into the person he's going to become, not using criticism, neither using flattery, but using words of affirmation and helping to aim that boy that he might find where he in fact fits. Sometimes a kid may fit in a certain arena for a season, but then if you're watching carefully, you'll see he may not fit there any longer. You help him make the adjustment. And I know a lot of it he's going to have to do himself. In fact, most of it he's going to have to do himself. But there's some things that you can do. You have more experience in life. I'm not saying to control the boy. I'm not saying to make him do things he doesn't want to do. But I am saying that you can influence him by affirming him in what he does and being attentive, being present, and being that affirming force to help him find his place. Oh, child of God, if you could hear what I'm saying right now, Mommy, you have more tools, you have more power than you know. You can make a difference in your son's life. Now, what happens when he gets a little bit older? When he gets a little bit older, you still be the voice of telling him who he is. When you rebuild something, you begin to tell him, son, that's not who you are. You're better than that. You have greatness in you. And even though bad seeds may have already been sown, and he's already begun to identify with the bad things, you still begin to tell him, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. I always say this, faith does not come by having heard. Faith comes by hearing. You be the voice of the positive. You be the voice of God. You be the voice of the positive identity. So even when he would seek to identify with the dark things, with the bad things, you tell him who he is. You tell him he's the light things. He's the bright things. He's the good things. He's the righteous things. And you begin to tell him that, and he will believe you. And the change does not come by effort, it comes by believing. But believing or faith comes by hearing. So therefore you be that voice, and you tell him, son, you're better than that. You're more than this. God has a hand on your life. You're going to do great things. The world is going to know that you will have lived. Don't allow yourself to fall prey and to fraternize with people and with a crowd, with an element that you're greater than, that you're more than. With those people want, what they're reaching for is not what you're reaching for. You're reaching for something more. You're reaching for something great. You're reaching for greatness and destiny. You're not a child of faith, but you are a child of destiny. People are going to know your name. You're going to do things that are going to matter. You're going to make a difference in people's lives. You're going to make a difference in the world. Son, you're a world changer. You're a life changer. People are going to be inspired by you because you are inspiring. God has a plan for your life. You're going to do great things in his name. People are going to look up to you and aspire to be like you because you talk to that boy and you begin to drill that, the good things, the positive things in his head. You begin to grill those things into his heart. So even when he strays from them, ultimately he will not depart from them. He will find himself coming back and believing what you yourself took the time and built within his heart and built within his soul, because you are building something, child of God. You are truly building something. And you're going to build something that's going to last. That's right. You're building something that's going to last. Oh, our time has gotten past us. But I want to remind everyone to like us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102. And leave us a comment there. So until the next time, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Pastor Lewis Green wishing that you have a great afternoon, and God bless.